All right. Welcome back to New Life Church's Equipping Podcast. This is Ryan Bondi again here with Jack Diven.
Hello.
And special guest today, very exciting, Katie Bradley.
Hey.
We're glad you're here, Katie. This week we are talking about the topic of reproval. And I was thinking about it this week and I was getting some thoughts from other people about this subject. And someone mentioned to me that Katie Bradley makes an excellent practice of doing this very thing. And so I thought, man, it would be great to have her here to share some of her experience with that. And so, Katie, can you tell us a little bit about your experience? Like, what is reproval? Like, first of all, what is reproval? And then a little bit of, like, what your experience with it is.
Sure. Yeah, so I would say for me it has been having a conversation with someone when I've seen sin or something come up in their life that wasn't reflecting Christ's character, and because I care about that person and love them, I want to bring it up with them and, yeah, hopefully point it out in love and see if there's anything that I can help them with. And honestly, it's not really something that I've had experience with very much until, like, 2-ish years ago. Mm-hmm. But I was really impacted by some people who were willing to do that for me, and mm-hmm. I grew a lot from it, and I've just seen a lot of trust come out of those conversations mm-hmm. with friends, so I value it a lot.
That is awesome. We're going to hear more about that as we talk a little bit more about our experiences with that later, so I'm going to ask you more about that. But Jack, could you introduce us with a passage, a little bit of scripture about where this idea even comes from, biblically speaking?
Yeah, so there are obviously in life different scenarios in which sin comes up and presents itself. It's there, prevalent everywhere in all of our lives, but sometimes it's a specific act against, you know, you personally, against someone. Oh, and it always is that against God. Mm-hmm. But the first passage that comes to mind when I think about responding to someone else when they've sinned against you comes from Matthew 18. Maybe you're familiar with it. Matthew 18:15 says, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector." So kind of progressively widening circles of involvement and influence there. I think the heart of the first verse, going to show your brother or sister his fault, his or her fault, just between the two of you, speaks to the importance of not allowing it to build, become mm-hmm. something even more sinful than, like, mm-hmm. already their offense may have been, leading to gossip or misunderstanding or mm-hmm. Bitterness and resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of that, you know, Jesus commands, if someone sins, go and show them their fault, just between the two of you at first, and hope that they listen, that they receive your words, apologize if necessary, and that you maintain peace between you. And so there, we'll talk about this, you know, throughout this episode, but there's other instances where it might not be a sin specifically against you, but just where scripture commands us to still point out the mm-hmm. sin of other people. But this passage in Matthew, I think, is just like the first place that my mind goes to when sure. I think about how important it is to show, you know, we are told to call out and show, like, mm-hmm. even explain to people how, like, their sin has affected us, mm-hmm. And it's for their good. We'll talk about that later. I think the heart of it is love. Even what absolutely. Katie said, it builds trust. Yeah. But yeah,
absolutely. Jack, you mentioned this, but when even more broadly, not just in circumstances where you experience someone sinning against you, but when you see someone doing something, saying something, maybe a pattern in their life that you can see like is sinful. This Galatians passage comes to mind for me. It's at the beginning of Galatians 6. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Mm-hmm. And to me, this is a broad call. And this like familial brothers and sisters language is used of, you know, in this family. It's important when we see something to go and restore that person. Mm-hmm. Restore that person to like righteousness, right living, but even to do it gently. And so there's this higher call. Like sometimes in my life, certainly if someone sins against me, I'm going to be more prone to want to bring it up. But sometimes I see it happening and I'm less prone to want to go and talk to them. I'm curious if you guys have that experience. I want to hear like what's challenging about engaging in like going and having a conversation with like a brother or sister about sin in their life.
Yeah. I think even when you were mentioning, like, yeah, the language that is used in the scripture here is talking about how it's family, and it's hard to, like, potentially, a hard conversation with someone you're close with is hard because they're going to still be in your life, and the fear of what if this doesn't go well and now we're not on good terms even more so. That comes up a lot for me. That can make it really hard, the fear part.
Yeah, like what if you say something or do something that is triggering or hard to stomach, induces like fear or shame, and that complicates the, you know, the relationship between you two even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, what I would say is hard. I'll go backwards even to just the reason that I think it is hard, which is it's not normal to do in the world.
Yeah,
absolutely. I just think about most groups of people, most people's personalities. What's normal in the world is to not have this kind of a conversation. Mm-hmm. There's a sense in which it doesn't matter how it's hard. It just mostly is for everyone, unless you have a very somewhat disagreeable personality trait or like you're really dominant as a personality style.
Sure.
And so it's just not normal. What is normal is people allow things to be swept under the rug or to fester and become bitterness and resentment, or they minimize the sin and then say that actually didn't matter, I don't care, when actually it was, and it hurts both you and the person in sin when it's not called for what it is, which is evil and opposed to God's ways. And then if it's that way in the world, like so unnatural, it's also that in the church, even if it shouldn't be. It's just hard for it to automatically become natural for us in the church. And so the people in my life who I think do this well have made a practice of it. They have chosen to say, I value right living and righteousness so much, you know, more than allowing sin to sit. And I think like that's the trap that I fall into. It's hard because I forget that sin is evil and has consequences.
Yeah.
And if I don't do something about it, it will build or become worse or not get fixed and be made right in the eyes of like the world.
Yeah.
So I just forget that.
There's even a nature of, you know, and when you talk about like sin having consequences, I mean, we see like scripturally speaking, we have an obligation to get back to someone about sin in their lives. We actually like owe it to them as family. And so I think that there's even a cost of the sin of not getting back to someone about this. It's not being like a faithful brother and sister to someone else in the family by like withholding in that way. But I'd also say, Jack, you touched on this too. It's not normal in this world. Kind of culturally speaking, we have kind of like a you do you mentality about things. And so it's like, oh yeah, like live your truth. Or like you can do what you want to do, and I don't have any authority to speak into your life or to say that you should live in a certain way. And that makes a lot of sense when in the world, if everyone lives kind of by different authorities, whether it's themselves or other things they live by, it makes sense. You don't have a common authority that you can appeal to. But the benefit of being in the family of God is we have this common authority in Jesus where I can say, like, Jack, you are following Jesus, and like I'm following Jesus, and we both do that imperfectly, and I don't expect you to do it perfectly, but here's a way in your aim to follow Jesus in your life that I want to bring up and talk to you about, because I think it would help you in your life and your pursuits of following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When you can appeal to that a common authority, it kind of evens the playing field a bit. It gives you that authority to speak into someone's life, and the benefit of the cross being that like sins are forgiven there, and you both recognize that means like you can't, you're not going to hold it against them, and you can actually be for their good. You're not, mm-hmm. you don't need to punish them. You know, yeah. you don't need to make them feel bad. Instead, you're restoring them. You're restoring them in like walking with Jesus, and can assure them of that grace when those situations come up, maybe when mm-hmm. Someone feels bad for what they did. And certainly understanding the consequence of the sin is valuable, but maybe feeling too ashamed and struggling with it.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, though, like we have a lot of this going against us where it's like our culture doesn't want us to speak into these things. People generally, it can be an embarrassing thing to do. I'm curious for you guys, like, what are the reasons why it's worth it? Like, why is it worth doing? Katie, I'm curious, like, for you, you touched on this, but what are those things that really make this like a worthwhile endeavor? Like, for your sake in being reproved, and then also for like taking the risk of reproving someone else?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say that I think it's worth it because we're told to do it in the Bible. So that's like my number one reason. And then, yeah, just kind of expanding on what I was saying earlier. I've just experienced friendships go from like potentially more average level of trust mm-hmm. to like, wow, like I could know that if I was in the same room as someone else, this person, and I wasn't responding well to someone or was doing something that I needed to be called out on, they would do it, and vice versa. And that's like very, I hold that at a very high value. Mm. And yeah, I think another reason why it's worth it to me is I like want to become more Christ-like, and I believe that other believers in like my family also want that.
Yeah.
And this is an amazing way to do that. And mm-hmm. I love what you said earlier about how it's an opportunity to like show them how God's grace like fits into this area or this part,
mm-hmm.
or this action of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's not just about pointing something out, but also like hopefully showing how, like Jesus would respond to them and mm-hmm. what God would say about who they are ultimately. Yeah.
Thanks, Katie. How about you, Jack?
Yeah, in terms of, you know, why is it worth it mm-hmm. to make a practice of doing this within mm-hmm. the church? I think along the same lines, it just communicates love and care for
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
If I see something and then I don't speak up about it, what is happening? I could be afraid. I could not know how to do it, and we'll hopefully talk about a few helpful things before we're done here, but at the bottom, deepest part of it, I'm just valuing my own comfort and my own like well-likedness above the sin of people's lives that hurts me and them. And so I need to grow in this. I just like, I'm sure we all do, but I'm as we're talking, I'm personally convicted with, I don't do this very much. Mm-hmm. Like certainly there's more sin in my life that I witness explicitly or subtly,
mm-hmm.
so much so that if I were actually obeying these verses of the Bible to their fullest extent, I think I would just have way more hard conversations with people.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm good at this personally,
mm-hmm.
But I do want to be, because mm-hmm. the people in my life that have done this with me took a risk in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
They risked my anger and stubbornness in that moment, my defensiveness, me disagreeing with them
mm-hmm.
about what they had to say to me to gently restore me. And I think what's been helpful for me as I'm afraid of that response, like I just go to the worst case scenario in my mind,
yeah,
is I can't control how another person responds.
Sure.
Right. I can only control what I do and whether I come to them in the spirit, mm-hmm. Full of grace and truth,
mm-hmm.
and allow them to respond as they will. And there's a sense in which, like, people that are godly, that have grown in godliness,
mm-hmm.
they welcome this. They ask
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
They ask people to point out their blind spots.
They want to grow.
Because they want to grow, and yeah. they know that without asking for it, it won't happen. People won't feel the freedom to bring things up for them, especially people in increasing positions of leadership.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
To take out a little something you shared there, Jack, when you're saying how you approach someone like in the spirit, and you mentioned this even earlier in talking about it's an act of love. In that Galatians passage, it says like you who live by the spirit should restore that person gently. And so like two things there to transition a little bit into like practically speaking. One is like being in the spirit as you're engaging with that conversation. Yeah. If you're out of control and like feeling like this kind of personal sense of like righteous anger and you're like kind of wanting to punish or make someone feel bad, that's certainly not the attitude that that's being called for here. And so there's an aspect of you being in the spirit as you approach them, and then also doing it gently, being gentle in, and that's like even a loving gesture as well, is wanting to be still caring for them in it, because it is a restorative action. It's not like a punishment. And Jack, I know you had another passage that engaged with a little bit of the practicals, and I was wondering if you could share that too.
Yeah, so another passage that came to mind is from 1 Thessalonians 5. It says to live in peace with each other, and then we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone.
Hmm.
So there's kind of different categories of people in these verses. There's the idle and the timid and the weak. And so I think this verse has just been really helpful for me to not make assumptions. That it's true that there can be sin in people's lives, and it can be for different reasons.
Sure.
It can be because people are weak. It can also be because they're unruly, or because they're, in this version I just read, it says idle, but in other translations it uses different words. Also, you know, some people are just timid and afraid and they need encouragement, but they might be living out of sinful fear too. And so, in terms of practicals, I hear this all the time, over the years, but generally starting with tentativeness and not assuming that we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with our acknowledging our own bias, that we could be wrong, and obeying this verse, like not assuming that we know that the answer requires our admonishment, our encouragement, or our help until we have done some, you know, gentle conversation to hear where people are at. Because the costs of reversing any of those three things,
sure,
are high. Does that make sense? Like if someone's actually unruly when I think that they're, timid, then I encourage them, but then I'm encouraging their unruliness.
Sure.
So there's a lot we could talk about,
or
that passage a lot.
Enabling the unruliness.
Enabling, sure.
Yeah. Or if they're timid and you like admonish them,
right.
That can be like, I don't know, like heartbreaking or really hard.
Yeah. So there's a lot in that one passage, but it's just one that's helped me as I relate to people and relates to getting back to people, reproving them gently.
Could you say that passage one more time? Just the reference, so that people could reference it if they're engaging with this.
Yeah, it's 1 Thessalonians 5, 14.
Cool. Thank you, Jack. Katie, one last thing. Would you be willing to share any, like, if you had to think about it, any best practice tip about engaging in the conversation or a way that you have the conversation that could be helpful for someone who's maybe striking out to get back to someone, to reprove someone for the first time?
Yeah. Two things come to mind. One, I think this is an awesome opportunity to lean into the Holy Spirit, ask for wisdom and for grace. For like the right words that would not be like hurtful, but would be helpful for whoever you're speaking with. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, like be willing to like ask them questions. I think it's easy to get into the mindset of like telling or like just sharing how you experience stuff. But if you're willing to ask them what was going on there, yeah, or was something else going on? Like, this seemed out of character for you. Like, do you want to talk about it a little more?
Can you help me understand that?
Yeah. Yeah. Ask questions.
Yeah.
It goes a really long way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really helpful to be known and understood, even in that. Not to be, like, yeah, enabled or justified that you, like, ought to have acted sinfully mm-hmm. in that way, but just to be understood. There's a lot of love there, a lot of gentleness there.
Yeah.
Great thoughts. You know, I would say in our culture, being like our church culture, I don't see this happening regularly. And I just try to imagine what it would look like, the sense of family, that we could be in a spot where we could grow in trust to be able to speak into people's lives like this. And honestly, how much more holy, like we would be, if we received reproval, and yeah, just the church as a whole would be if we had a culture that was speaking into each other's lives. And honestly, this is just one aspect of helping us, like be more like Jesus. You know, one of our values is the character of Christ is our aim. And this is like a huge way to like move toward that goal. And if our community looks more like Jesus, man, that has missional impact as well. People are going to know that we're like Jesus's followers as a result, will look different. And so big picture, it seems super worth it. And no, this is just like a touch point introducing the idea. But I encourage you to like, let this sit with you and consider, is there a conversation you need to have? Do you need to go and talk with someone? And if you don't know exactly how to do it, if you're feeling maybe timid or afraid about it, like ask for help. Just ask someone yeah. who you trust to be able to give some thoughts and maybe help you as you approach that conversation for the first time. So that's all we have for today. Thank you, Katie, for joining us. Jack, thank you for joining me as well. Totally. And we'll see you soon.